Grace to you in Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, our great King and Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about the church. What is it? What did God have in mind when He created it? Who are we really in Jesus Christ? What do you think about the church? Let me ask it this way. Are we just a social meeting place for friends? Are we a band of brothers? Are we just a place for entertainment? Be entertained by Pastor Greg and his entertaining sermons and the music? Or is it a place where we come together to serve? Are we a wandering group of outcasts, misfits, unholy Hollywood teaches? Are we a people with a divine calling and a great mission from God? Are we a country club? Are we an army? I'd like to look at especially with you with this question today. Is the church a cruise ship or is it a battleship? What do you think? What does God have to say to us about these things? Let's get a better understanding of these things today, about who we really are as the church. A cruise ship or a battleship? What does God say about that? Well, easy. Let's take a look first off at the scriptures and see, let God answer that, because it answers it for us very clearly and well. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Start there. The Holy Spirit says through Peter, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So what's the first thing we learn about the church there? It's not a building, it's a people, God's own people. We often say, "Oh, Beth, I'll see you later, I'm going to church right now," thinking about the building. The Bible never talks about the church as a place, a building. It's people. And what kind of people? A people that are saved by Jesus Christ, that they're brought out of darkness into His marvelous light, and with a purpose to declare His wonderful deeds. And so, first thing we need to know is the church is not a building, but a people. But now we need, cruise ship or battleship, what kind of people are we? Cruise ship passengers or battleship sailors? Let's let God answer that question for us right now, shall we? We'll open up to Ephesians chapter 6. We go there, beginning in verse 10. You answer the question for me. Ready? "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we're not contending against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places." Sorry, did I read that wrong? "For we're not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So what's the answer? Battleship sailors, not cruise ship passengers. "For we're to fight the good fight of the faith, to save souls, feed the poor, preach the word." And there's a great call to duty. Now I want to ask you a question. There's a big difference between peacetime and wartime for a battleship. Which are we, peacetime or wartime? God answers that question for us too, 2 Corinthians 10. "For though we live in the world, not carrying on a worldly war, for the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." What do we destroy? We destroy every proud obstacle and argument against the Word of God. So is it peacetime or wartime?
Wartime.
Wartime. Now let's say it like you mean it. Wartime, right? God tells us, you are soldiers, you are armed, you are at war. A state of war exists between good and evil, between Christ and Satan. And then the next thing we can ask is the church, though, really a battleship in God's sight? Well, certainly there were no battleships back in biblical days as we know them from World War II. But nevertheless, take a look at what God says to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Paul says to Timothy, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these instructions to you so that if I am delayed, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of the truth. Say, pillar and bulwark of the truth. Now say it like you're not cruise ship passengers, but like battleship sailors. The pillar and bulwark of the truth. That's better. What's a bulwark? And we don't use that word often. I looked it up in the dictionary. It says this. It's a solid wall-like structure raised for defense, a rampart, a breakwater, seawall, a strong support or protection, the side of a ship above the upper deck. Can we say that the church is a battleship in this great war? Absolutely, according to God's word. And then Wikipedia defines a battleship as a large armored warship with a main battery consisting of heavy caliber guns. During the late 19th and 20th centuries, the battleship was the most powerful type of warship, and a fleet of battleships was vital for any nation which desired to maintain command of the sea. And such is the church. Is that God's definition according to his word? Very clearly, yes. That's why we call it in theology the church militant on earth. The next thing we need to understand, though, is something God warns us about. That in the last days, there are going to come people who are going to turn the battleship into cruise ships. Where is this written in the Bible? Is it really in there? Absolutely. Let's take a look. We're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's telling Timothy, he says, preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort, be unfailing in patience and teaching. For the time is coming, say that, the time is coming, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own needs. Turn away from listening to the truth. Wander into myths. But as for you, always be steady. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So what's he telling them there? You are, Timothy, to be a battleship captain. In the last days, though, there are going to be cruise ship type of pastors that the congregations will accumulate to themselves. People who are entertained, itching ears, but will no longer be engaging the enemy and standing for the truth as you are called to do. So to be very careful about that. Let's consider cruise ships for a moment. You know, cruise ships, how about Carnival cruise lines? Has this happened in our days? Are many churches like a carnival? Well, you know what cruise ships are all about. Fun, entertainment, having a good time, what's in it for me? Getting your needs met, right? Ever been on a cruise? Remember when I first came as a pastor into the LCMS, into the Florida Georgia District, 2005, our first pastor's conference in the fall, was on a cruise ship, and I thought, yes, psych, this is so cool. I'm in the right district of the LCMS. I remember, you know, the waiter would come up and say, more lobster bisque, sir? And I'm like, yeah, that'd be fine. Another roast duck, sir? Make it two. And after filling myself with a gluttony of foods, then you go from eating to entertainment on these boats, right? You have the comedian on the Lido duck or the shuffleboard on the Acapulco deck. Am I comfortable? And am I well fed? Am I at ease? Which shall I choose? Life is so hard, you say, on a cruise ship. But there's no longer an attack. There's no longer a fight. The preaching the truth, forging ahead. But the mission is to entertain. And it becomes so because there are many pastors and captains who are called to churches to be entertainment directors. It's no longer Admiral Nimitz, but it's Captain Steuben of the Love Boat. It's no longer General Patton, but Julie, the cruise director. It's no longer the Battle of Trafalgar and Midway, but how may I best entertain my people? Well, there's a great mission, friends, for saving souls, for helping the poor, for holding fast the word of life, defending the truth, and turning the forward guns and turrets over to bear on the enemy, and to destroy what? To destroy lies that are destroying people. Lies like evolution. Lies that attack the word of God. Lies like abortion and gay marriage and that Jesus is but one way to heaven and not the only way. These are the things we turn the heavy shells of the word of God and say, but it is written, it is written, it is written. And this is a great mission that we're called to. But I want to tell you something. It is a great temptation for us also to turn this boat into a cruise ship. Right? And it's a great temptation for me to be a cruise ship director. To just make sure everybody's happy. Make sure everybody's comfortable and all needs are met. But not fighting and forging and going ahead. Because battles are hard. And they're won by men and women who give their all for victory. Do you hear that call to duty today? Are we going to become a cruise ship? How can we guard ourselves against that? Let's talk about that for a few minutes. How can we keep Christ Lutheran Church a battleship and not a cruise ship? Well, the first thing is cruise ships do not acknowledge their enemy, that they even have an enemy. They don't speak much of them. He doesn't come to mind, but the battleship crew is ever keeping watch, ever aware of their present dangers. Are we? Are you? Think of what Peter says in the Bible. Remember that? 1 Peter 5, he says, be sober, be on the watch. Your adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. Do you acknowledge today that there is an enemy of our church?
Yeah.
Do you believe that he has schemes and subterfuge and plan to destroy our fellowship and our mission? Battleship churches are keenly aware of their enemy, as was the early church. Paul says, for we're not contending against flesh and blood. In other words, against people. That's not our enemy. But we're contending against principalities, powers, world rulers of this present darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's demonic forces. Are we ever on guard with the binoculars, if you will, of faith to scan the horizon for enemy ships, enemy destroyers? Are we keeping watch for that periscope that's coming by to get us from within, from below? For where we can't see it. For guess what? The devil is crafty, says the Bible. He is a fierce enemy who hates us like a roaring lion, but he comes in ruthlessly to destroy in unseen ways. How is he coming against us today? He is no trifle. He's a real being. So let's scan that horizon. Keep our eyes open. Checking our radar. And perhaps also the sonar for a sub. That is aiming to sink us. And that is a real battle, friends. Jesus cast out a real demon from people. He fought a real devil in the wilderness, and that devil is angry and roars against the church. Roars against us. Don't take him lightly. He aims to sink us. And the cruise ship, on the contrary, sails away from the battle. They head out into the vast oblivion of the Pacific, away from the strife. And they don't keep watching their guns. They're not prepared. No one thinks of the devil, and they don't often even believe in him. When I was at the ELCA, Lutheran Seminary, by the way, in Gettysburg, not our denomination, the other one of the professors there, systematic theology professor, taught that the devil is not a real being. It's not on the radar. There is no. What is that? That's a cruise ship captain, right? There is no danger here. It's just the devil is just a figment of people's imaginations, said this professor. One of the conservative students, miffed at such teachings, asked the teacher there, and a lot of the teachers there were ardent feminists, and he raises his hand and says, "The devil, professor, I thought she was a really bad spirit." Now, just poking fun at it. But in my days, growing up in the Episcopal Church, 18 years, never heard the enemy mentioned from the pulpit. I don't remember once. Barna Research Survey recently said 35% of American Christians do not believe the devil is a real being. You know what that means? That means that the devil has already disarmed 65% of the fleet. And he's not even going to touch those churches. Let them prosper, he says, because they're sailing off into the vast oblivion of the Pacific. They're no danger to us. Let's go after the 35 or less that are after us and doing damage to our infrastructure, to our shipping, to our destroyers, to our capturing of souls. Do you know that you're called? We are called with a great mission to destroy demons, to destroy enemy destroyers, to stop their fuel supply lines and their shipping supply lines, which are the teachings of the false teachings of this world. But we're to rescue the slaves that are on their slave ships and set them free in Jesus Christ through the gospel. No battleship sailing into war denies the enemy, so let's keep on watch and our guard against them with all prayer. Here's another thing. Number two, you ready? Number two, to make sure that we don't become a cruise ship church, pray for me. Pray for your pastor. Remember, the prophecy was this, that in the last times, people will not endure sound teaching, but they'll have itching ears. And they'll turn away, accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own life, who will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. So what do you need to pray for me? Pray that I would preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, to be unfailing in patience and in teaching, to always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill my ministry. Because guess what? As goes the captain, so goes the church. If you get a cruise ship captain, you're going to get a cruise ship church. If you get a battleship captain, you're going to generally get a battleship church. So pray for me about this. This is so important. I feel that temptation to go off and be a cruise ship director. I can just feel it. Don't speak on this. Don't speak on that. Keep them comfortable and such things. And a lot of pastors do tickle the ears of their congregations. They fire no shots at the major issues of the day. They don't speak on abortion. They don't speak on Jesus as the only way. They don't speak on the wrath and the judgment to come and things like that, because they're afraid. They're afraid to speak it, or maybe they just don't believe in it. Or remember what happened to King Saul. He was a pastor. He was a captain in the Old Testament. When he sinned, Samuel said, "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, the king said to Samuel, "Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." What a temptation. Pray that I do not do such a thing. The fear of man lays a snare, but by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I know a pastor up north I've heard of, who's when asked, "Will you ever preach on homosexuality?" He said, "No." He says, "I'm personally against, I think it's a sin, but I would never preach on it from the pulpit. It's too controversial. It would stir my congregation up too much." What is that? That's a cruise ship pastor. In that case, at least in that case. Now, what is a cruise ship pastor going to do? Does that mean he's just a terrible-looking pastor? Cruise ship pastors generally run a very beautiful ship, don't they? It's very nice. And how do they gain more people? They keep it in an orderly fashion. They sail without incident. Everyone's needs are met. They avoid stormy weather. The enemy is not engaged. He's like a CEO or a worldly salesman. He seeks to gain converts by entertaining them into the kingdom. Right? Let's have seven different worship services, as some do. We got tradition. We got contemporary. We got the blended. We got for the one for the 30-somethings, the jazz, the orchestral, or the pop rock. Choose which one you'll take. And some of that can be good, but we're not called to entertain people into the kingdom with a ski group or a tennis league at our church or a great softball team or our own Starbucks or Chick-fil-A, as I've heard some churches in Texas have. There's great advertising, an impressive building, positive, non-offending messages, and a visitor packet. Oh, you'll get a very nice gift if you come to our church. You'll come to our visitor's table. It's just like checking into the Radisson. Hi, is there anything we can do to make your stay more pleasurable and comfortable here? Just let us know. You know what? That is a cruise ship church. Not to say that we can't do some of those things to gain people, but the point is, we are about the truth. We're about the Word, and we got to turn our attention and all of our efforts and striving to really destroy evil, to promote justice, to be peacemakers, to save people who need rescuing. That's what God has called the church to do, not to sail around the world. What's it going to be like if we do that and get into the kingdom and sail into port at the last day and have to give an account to our admiral? What are we going to say then? Well, a battleship captain will not fear his people, but he'll lead his men, and he'll preach, and he'll not fear men, but revere Christ. And if he does that, if I do that, I believe the crew respects a battleship captain, and they'll sail with him into any danger or any war or battle, no matter the fierceness, because they know he's going by the sailing orders of the admiral, and he's promised us to lead us under victory unto victory. So let's go a mighty broadside into the enemy's lines. Thus says the Lord, we must say, both as pastor and as congregation. So pray for me, help to do that. One more here. To guard against becoming a cruise ship church and staying battleship-minded, ask yourself this question. You know, cruise ship people ask, what has the church done for me? Battleship crew ask, what can I do to contribute to the church? You know, if you look at church as a place to just come together once a week and you're going to listen and that's all you're going to do, you know what that is? That's a cruise ship pastor, isn't it? A battleship crew says, I give my all for this. It's not I, me, myself, and such things as the cruise, but it's we. And what can I do to lay down my life for my king who laid down his life for me? Listen to Paul. He says, I don't account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Is that your heart? Is that your attitude today? To be devoted to the furthering of the cause of the kingdom? Are you willing, as Christ Lutheran, to have a risky ride that's not so comfortable all the time? And we remember what Jesus says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. John Paul Jones, the early American captain, said, I want nothing to do with a ship that will not sail fast, for I mean to steer in harm's way. What if we start putting out our sermons on the radio? What if we reach tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands on the internet? Are you willing to risk if there are things that harm comes our way on account of these things? Or guess what? It may be fun to be part of a cruise ship, right? But it is inspiring to be on an active battleship. And if you do nothing here but listen to the sermons, then that's as much as to say, oh, patch de gray coupon. The cruise ship mentality. And so I want to ask this question for you. What do you want it to be like when we come at last into the port of heaven, tie up to the dock, and have to give an account of ourselves to the admiral of the fleet? That day is going to come for both cruise ships and battleships. Do we want our ammunition stores full, our bank account stores full and unused, not a scratch on the boat, as you try to pick the last piece of fried chicken out of your mouth with a toothpick as you try to give an answer to the apple? Or, picture this, should the His Majesty's ship Christ Lutheran come in damaged, with signs of battle everywhere, the deck strafed by bullets, gunpowder and grease on our faces, and with the report to give to him, 7 enemy destroyers sunk, 2 battleships, 1 cruiser, 50,000 refugees fed, and 1 million people brought to Jesus Christ, and all hands accounted for, sir. I tell you, that's the way I want to go in answer to him on that day. And so let's strive for that together, because what we're called to as a church is to strive to win the battle for victory. And we all need to work together, straining with all the might for that upward prize of the call of God, straining with all our might for victory. And even in the midst of the great exchange of a powerful gunnery, we know that there is a crown at the end of the battle. Or listen to this, 1 Corinthians 4, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Say, not in talk, but in power. That's a battleship. That is the church. And I want to say I have been pleased very much and proud to be a captain of this ship lately. Last week we had 177 people here, gained over 40 people in 1 week because you invited people to come. Friendship Sunday. Recently we had Food for the Poor come, and we gave them gifts to help feed the poor in the Caribbean countries. And Don Norton, inspired by that, said, why don't we take our Thrive of Choice dollars and buy and build a house for them down there and feed them for a year? That's $3,700. So we voted to do that. There's an anonymous donor who matched that, so that's 2 houses. And then Les said, I'm selling my house. I'd like to give a tithe. I'll build a house for them too. That's 3. That was matched, so that's 4. And then last Wednesday, at our board meeting, Les said, took a challenge and said, why don't we do another 3 houses for the previous people down there? So add that with another. Those are matched as well. So that's 6. That's 10 houses. And 10 families fed for a year from little ship Christ Lutheran in His Majesty's fleet. That's the kind of report I want to see. And that's something to be proud of. Our radio ministry is beginning in just a few weeks. You have the chance today to help contribute to that from your stores, to pour out that we get that word out there to the people, to reach tens of thousands. Our internet ministry is beginning this year as well, to reach millions. We have a Tuesday prayer meeting starting this Tuesday, 12 to 1, every Tuesday, for our community. Come and pray with us. We have Friday Fest, food pantry. The point is, cruise ship, it's what can the church do for me? Don't ask me to work. I'm here to relax. But in the battleship church, it's what can I do to contribute for the great cause of freedom and liberty in this world in Jesus Christ, to lay down my life for that great King who laid down His life for me. Sure, it may be fun and comfortable to be part of a cruise ship church, but it is inspiring to be part of an active ship in His Majesty's Navy. For Jesus promises to lead us always in triumph, from victory into victory, it says in Corinthians, as more than conquerors, as it says in Romans 8. And so our real inspiration, of course, is Jesus Christ, who is the great captain and admiral of the fleet. For we read this of Him. You know the word which He sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went about doing good and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing everyone who was oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. And He commanded us, say commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one ordained by God to be judge of the living and of the dead. And to Him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. We are a few. We are a happy few, though, a band of brothers. If we stick to our guns and strive side by side, we'll say together with Paul, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearance.